Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the fourth Sunday in Lent comes from our gospel reading of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Let's follow the text. Our gospel reading tells us about the Israelites out there wandering in the wilderness. As usual, they grumble against God. We grumble too, don't we? We grumble about the weather, about daylight savings time, about our job, about our kids, about our spouse. We grumble about schoolwork or chores at home. We grumble about the government, about laws, the erosion of our liberties and societal norms. Goodness, we grumble about everything. And sometimes that grumbling is justified. Most of the time that grumbling isn't, though. But whatever the case, this grumbling is just a symptom of the greater problem that we and the Israelites had. We love the darkness. The Israelites, they grumbled. But it wasn't just because they grumbled about the difficulties that they were facing out there in the wilderness. That could be understood, if not condoned. But our text tells us that they spoke against the Lord. It wasn't just that they were out there in the wilderness, but they hated the fact that God had brought them out there in the wilderness. They hated the fact that God had taken them away from their cushy little lives back there as slaves in Egypt. At least there they had food for their bellies and a roof over their head. They did not believe that God could or would provide for them. They preferred the known things of slavery over the mysterious promises of God. In truth, they were angry. They were angry that God was their God. And because of this, they despised him. They fled the light and they ran full long back into the darkness, because the darkness is comfortable to the sinner, isn't it? We understand the darkness. We understand that blanket, that clouds and shrouds our work. And so the Lord sent fiery serpents upon them. That was their judgment, their condemnation. They spoke against God. They set themselves up as enemies of God, and so they died because of that. For that's the lot of an enemy of God, death. But through God's killing law, they were brought to repentance, and through repentance, they were brought to salvation. A bronze serpent was lifted high up on a wooden pole. If bitten, the Israelites just had to look to that serpent. Not that the bronze serpent had any power in and of itself to deliver them salvation, but because the Lord deemed it good and right and salutary to bring salvation to them through it. The bronze serpent, through it, God brought the cross and Jesus to the Israelites. And then we have our gospel reading for this morning as well. And we see that greater bronze serpent. Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him must have eternal life, may have eternal life. Jesus is what the bronze serpent brought to the Israelites. Jesus is what saved those people, Jesus and his cross. And the same is true for us today. Jesus does not bring condemnation. Sin and the law do that. Jesus brings salvation and grace and mercy. Jesus brings the cross. Jesus brings the forgiveness of sins. That's all that Jesus brings. And that is a very important distinction that must be made. Condemnation does not reside in Jesus. He did not come into our flesh so that he could ride around and mark people for condemnation. The Son of Man became incarnate, became one of us, so that he might be lifted up on the cross for the salvation of mankind, the entire world, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. We don't need the cross to condemn us. The law does that in full. And our thoughts and our words and our deeds, they do a phenomenal job bringing this condemnation of the law upon us. So our text, our gospel text, speaks also about light and darkness. And this too is a crucial thing. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. We're the ones that Jesus is talking about there. We and all of creation. We're the ones who love the darkness, the ones who won't come to the light lest our wicked deeds be shown. In and of ourselves, we stay hidden away in the darkness because there our deeds, seemingly good or obviously bad, can't be seen. At least that's what we hope. That's what we believe. The thing is, when they are brought into the light, and make no mistake about it, they will all be brought into the light. Each and every single one of those sins will be exposed, and we'll be condemned sinners because of them. That's why we hide, thinking that the light can't penetrate the darkness and pretending that we will be safe. We think that maybe if we stay just long enough away from that light, we won't be condemned. But that isn't how the light works. Because it's not the light that condemns us. It's not Jesus that condemns us. It's our sin. The very darkness in which we reside, that's what condemns us. Jesus didn't have to come into the world to do this. We're condemned already. We're already sitting in darkness long before Jesus ever took his first breath in his mother's arms. The law had already proclaimed us as unrighteous, evil, and wicked people. The law had already proclaimed to us that we were enemies of God. The law had already declared to us that because of our sin, we deserved nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And the law still does this. The law still shows us that we're sitting in darkness because of our wicked deeds. That's the main purpose of the law. And it doesn't stop doing its job now just because Jesus has come and the light is in the world. Because in and of ourselves, our works are still evil. No matter how great or selfless they might be, apart from the light, they are still deeds done in darkness, tainted with sin, wicked to their very core. And so we too are condemned already. From the moment of conception, we're condemned. Every single breath that we take condemns us all the more. And yet, just like the Israelites in the wilderness, we do have hope. For the light of the world has come into the world. And just like the Israelites, we have this promise of life and light, the promise of salvation. For the Israelites, it was a serpent on a stick, but that bronze serpent couldn't do a thing unless God worked through it, brought salvation through it, promised the light of the world to come through it, provided forgiveness of sins through it, gave Jesus through it. For God so loved the world that sat in darkness, that he gave his only Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus, lifted high up on the cross, just like the serpent in the wilderness, brings salvation to all who have faith and would believe. But here, too, we should have a distinctive understanding of something. Because faith is nothing in and of itself. In the strictest sense, it's not faith that saves you. It's the object of that faith. What that faith has belief in, that's what saves you. The Israelites, they didn't believe that it was their faith that would save them from the fiery serpents. They prayed to God, and they clung in faith to God's promise, believing that it was God who would save them. Through this promise given to them, they were brought back into the light of God, who had saved them from the fiery serpents and their slavery in Egypt. So too it is with us. Because if we're truly honest with ourselves, we realize that we love the darkness, We realize that we would much rather grumble against God, detest Him for being our God, and remain enslaved to sin and death and the devil, because those are the things that the sinner loves. We can't hope to bring ourselves out of darkness any more than the Israelites could hope to heal themselves from the fiery serpents. So then, there comes that great bronze serpent in the form of a crucified Jesus. For it's Christ and His cross that saves. It's Christ alone, through faith, that saves. It is He. Him. He's the one. He's the object of our faith. For faith must have something to grasp onto, otherwise it is useless. And so it grasped onto Christ and His cross. It grasped onto the light of the world that was sent into this world to save us from darkness. And so we believe. Just like the Israelites, we believe that God will save us. We look to the cross, there, high and lifted up, the greater bronze serpent, Jesus the Christ, given unto death for the salvation of our souls. And yet the wonder and the beauty of our salvation does not end with Jesus on the cross. It doesn't even end with Jesus resurrected from the tomb. For all of that must come to us, must be given to us. The Israelites, they weren't just told to believe that in a few thousand years, God would send His Son in order to forgive them and save them. What good would that be for them right there in the midst of their suffering and sin and death? God did not leave them in the midst of their fiery deaths without the very thing needed to save them. And so they received salvation right there. Forgiveness of sins right there in the wilderness, that their condemnation might be taken away. God does not just tell the sinner to believe and then give them nothing to believe in. So for the Israelites, He gave the bronze serpent, and through that bronze serpent, He gave them Christ, the forgiveness of sins won on the cross, given back in time and space to them, in time and space, through that bronze serpent. God did not just promise them salvation through a coming Messiah. He gave them that Messiah. Even though His Son wouldn't become incarnate for thousands of years later. And so it is with us. Christ was lifted up high upon the cross so that whoever would believe in Him would have eternal life. But this life, this light, isn't just glued there on the cross, needing our remembrance to travel back in time to receive it. It comes to us. The cross comes to you. In water and word, it comes to you. In bread and wine, it comes to you. You want salvation. Look to Jesus and His cross, and then receive Him when and where He's promised to give that salvation to you. Because the cross is here for you, given to you. Words of life and salvation spoken into your sinner's ears. Watery graves of baptism to bury your grumbling old Adam more and more, day and day. The bread of life come down from heaven, placed upon your tongues to eat and to drink. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, comes to you, so that He might continually bring you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, bring you salvation from each and every single one of those fiery serpents that tear into your flesh and threaten to condemn you. He comes to you. A real cross for you that sounds like gospel-y words of goodness. A real cross for you that feels wet and watery upon your foreheads. A real cross for you that tastes of the heartiest bread and the choicest of wine. For in Jesus there is no condemnation, not in Him, not in His cross. He's the very one who's lifted up for you. And His word and sacraments follow suit. They are for you too. In the name of Jesus.